Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
This week in Retronauts, we're turning upside down. Hi, everyone, and welcome to a short episode of Retronauts, Retronauts Micro. This time, instead of doing just the usual script, I've invited Sam Claiborne here.
Hey, actual Metal Storm owner.
Wow. Actually, I own a copy, too. It cost a lot of money. And we're here to talk about, oh, right, Metal Storm. That's going to be this episode. It's Metal Storm, man.
It's really funny because you asked the question, why is this game so expensive? That is a hard question to answer. I'm surprised it is, but I can tell you that I thought it was so cool seeing screenshots of this game, Nintendo Power, in 1989, 1990, when it came out. 1990, I think, is when it came out. Because it was gorgeous. It was like an amazing Super Nintendo 16-bit era looking game with some effects from the Super Nintendo, like parallax scrolling with these backgrounds. It had a lot of perspective. Now when you look at it, it doesn't look like it has a lot of color, but it did feel like it had a lot of color then. And then just like amazing animations, which you couldn't see in screenshots, but I found out once I got it.
Yeah, the game really moved smoothly and looked great.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, the biggest, most interesting thing about it is the fact that it was really, how to describe it? It was another one of those games that attempted to reinvent the platformer. And that's something you saw a lot on NES. You know, the NES kind of invented the platformer with Super Mario Brothers. And within the following years, you had games like Bionic Commando, which, you know, was an arcade game originally, but was perfected on NES.
Took away the jump, added a grappling hook.
That's right.
That's how they played with it.
So you, Metal Storm, you know, DuckTales, you know, it takes away your standard attack and makes jumping your attack, but not in the way of Super Mario Brothers. Right. So Metal Storm was kind of part of that tradition. It was a game where you jumped and you shot, just like, you know, Contra or something. But if you jumped again while in midair, you would flip gravity. It wasn't just you would jump upside down. Like
everything
around
down.
You, yeah, would flip upside down. You had this crazy ability to affect gravity fields. So that became an integral part of the game. Like, you know, if there was a gap that was too wide to cross, you would jump. And then at the top of the arc of your jump, you would press jump again, and it would cause you to flip upside down.
You press up or down based on where you are, too.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right.
And then part of the appeal of that is that you can make levels that are explorable that you can choose a direction to go. You can go way up or way down. It's not just left or right. So there's these levels that you'd get to where there's much better power-ups if you chose to flip up through a top wall, and you couldn't go back. So you're always going forward and either choosing a top path or a bottom path.
Yeah,
kind of puzzle-based too, because you can only jump through some things one way.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was a, you know, parts of it felt very puzzle platformer.
Yeah, it was it kind of brought that sort of classic arcade element, you know, of being able to pass through the screen from one direction or the other. There were certain stages that were basically just like kind of like narrow tunnels, and you would scroll infinitely through them up and down, and you know, everything would just kind of repeat. It's hard to describe, but it really,
it's like the Pac-Man maze. You can come out the bottom. Yeah, again,
the game
up and down.
The game really played with your sense of space and like perspective and relationships between objects.
And really, a good orbital gravity feel too. Like you're jumping in these parabolas, like, and when you flip the gravity, you keep on arcing in a very natural feeling way. Really, really like how that game feels.
Yeah, and so this was published by IREM. IREM is awesome. They always made cool games.
Usually you're in a spaceship in their games, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of them. You know, the R-Type was kind of their big series. But, you know, the actual game itself was developed by a company called Tamtex, which was basically just like an auxiliary of IREM, and eventually was brought into the company as their Tokyo development studio, according to the internet. That's like the only information on the internet about Tamtex. Is that they became IREM's Tokyo studio.
But you looked into the people who worked on the game specifically and found some cool connections.
Like
a connection to Little Samson, which has a lot in common with this game, and being beautiful and having good animations and
there's
just feeling like a 16-bit game.
There's a certain feel to both Little Samson, like and Metal Storm. They're both very dense games. Mm-hmm. They're also both very expensive. Maybe not coincidentally, I don't know.
Oh man, Little Samson is a logarithmically more expensive, exponentially.
But yeah, like there is that connection. There's an R-Type 3 connection, Darius Gaiden, and Assault Suits Lanos, which is probably the most direct connection because that is another one of those suits where you're stomping around in a giant suit of armor, robot armor. Hmm. But, you know, it doesn't have the unique element of the gravity flipping that Metal Storm did. And it's actually a pretty short game. There's, what, 5 stages?
Yeah, you get through them pretty fast. There's some difficult boss fights, but they're always big room boss fights mm-hmm. where you have to attack different things.
Right, and there's a couple of bosses that really make use of the gravity element. There's one where you're fighting like the bosses that are also your footholds, and as you defeat them, you gain less and less space to jump on. So you really have to be mindful of how you approach that. It kind of reminds me of the, you know, the Reznor battles in Super Mario World, but cranked up to like 20. Mm-hmm. Not just 11, a 20. It's just a really unique and cool game. It's not really the kind of game that you can have a long conversation about.
No.
But
a flashy enough, expensive, rare Nintendo game that's actually worth seeing and worth playing. Like,
yeah.
It's worth seeking out.
Yeah, some of the really pricey collector's items are not really worth that
much. Yeah, like
much.
Surprise at Dino Peak.
Yeah, this
or
is
the
one I was going to name.
Restaurant.
Right. Yeah, like who cares about those games?
They're Mighty Final Fight. Like they're not fun.
They're okay, mm-hmm. but you know, middling to decent. Whereas Metal Storm really was great. I mean, it was it passed the classic Nintendo Power cover test, which is not necessarily the number one indicator of quality. There were some dogs on Nintendo Power on the cover. Depends on what was happening that month, like what good games are coming out for NES.
Felix
but this
the
was
Cat.
Apparently that's a pretty good one.
It's
I need
okay,
to try that out,
but it's not cover worthy.
I gotta buy that before it gets expensive.
Now that we mentioned it.
Anyway, so yeah, I don't know. Metal Storm really is a unique and interesting game, and I kind of hate the fact that it's so expensive because it's one of those that really I think everyone needs to play to try out. It's like I said, it's a very short game and it can be tough. It's a one hit kill kind of game, so there's no lenience whatsoever. You really have to play perfectly through each stage.
But the cool thing is that when you blow up, it looks amazing.
Yeah, it has great explosions.
It has like explosions straight out of you know the best
Macross.
Or just out of anime.
Yeah,
in general.
I think the gold standard for explosions on NES before that was Blaster Master when your tank exploded.
It's a good explosion.
But this is like 10 times that. It's amazing.
Or Hitler's head exploding. Is a pretty
that
good
was also good. Mm-hmm. Not really a common animation, though. so Metal Storm, like I said, it was on Nintendo Power. And it was one of those where they actually built a little model of the suit, M305 or whatever
it's
called.
It looks like a cool transformer.
Yeah, it's got that great, like, I mean, it really looks like something out of Macross. It's got the jet intakes on the shoulder. There's no head to it, really. Mm-hmm. It's very
There's
definitely
a person
like,
inside of it. I don't think it's like a suit. I think you're a little guy.
Well, no,
inside,
it's a
right?
it's a mech suit, like a mech big suit, mech suit. Yeah.
And the fact that it was on the cover of Nintendo Power and the fact that I bought it new because I thought it looked cool when I was a kid means that I had no idea that this game became a collector's item until you told me right before this episode.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I've been, you know, collecting and buying NES games for a long time, but that must have been a recent change of events because I can't believe that's a thing.
Yeah.
Came with a poster.
So I would say go check it out, everyone, but it's really expensive, and IREM's delisted all of its stuff from Virtual Console, mm-hmm. I think. So the chances of us ever getting it in a reissue are pretty much exactly zero, which is really a shame because it's a I would say, you know, like second-tier 8-bit classic that deserves a broader audience.
And it shows off what the NES could do at the end of the NES's mm-hmm, life cycle mm-hmm. better than anything graphically. I mean, the fact that it has two backgrounds scrolling over each other.
Well, not only that, but they scroll in both directions. Mm-hmm. You know, it's free scrolling. Most of the parallax scrolling on NES was like vertical or horizontal only. Mm-hmm. Whereas this is, you know, you move in a direction and the backgrounds kind of move with you. It is a real piece of technical wizardry. And it's crazy because Tamtex did not create that many games. They didn't tend to look that great. I think probably the nicest looking game they ever did was Hammer and Harry 2 for Game Boy, which is a really good looking Game Boy game. But everything else they did, kind of like, oh, yeah, it's a game. They did the sequel to Kung Fu Spartan X2. And that looked okay, but... this was just like out of left field, like this really crazy game. Can't believe it came out. Can't believe this team made it. Can't believe that it actually showed up in the US and actually got some kind of promotion on Nintendo
as a
Power.
Cover model. Yeah.
Yeah. So, we're not really advocates of piracy here, but I really think this is one that you should go out and emulate. It's just a cool, cool game. Always a longtime favorite for me.
And I got to plug Metal Warriors also for Super Nintendo while we're here.
That is kind of in the same spirit, but no gravity flipping.
No gravity flipping, but big bots and a really fun two-player combat mode that I just played all night long.
How many games actually have gravity flipping? There's a Mega Man 5, Gravity Man.
I bet one of those crappy, like, what is it, like Solar Jet Man or Rad Gravity? Rad Gravity probably has.
I don't think so, actually. Solar Jet Man definitely didn't. It was like Lunar Lander, the adventure.
I can picture another one.
Strider has, you know, the zero gravity stage, but it's just not something that people have really explored that much. Mm-hmm. So
the whole castle turns upside down and something like
that. Yes, but gravity doesn't. So a unique little gem of the NES era, definitely worth tracking down if you just won the lottery. So anyway, thanks for coming in to chat with me about Metal Storm.
Anytime.
And I'm going to do this as a video so people can at least see the game in action because it merits a look.
All right, end with an explosion.
All right. So you can find Retronauts at the usual places, at retronauts.com, eosgamer.net, and on iTunes. Sam, of course, works for IGN. Tell us where to find you on the internet.
You can find me at Samuel_IGN on Twitter, and write about pinball and old games occasionally at IGN these days.
Of course, I work at usgamer.net. You can find me on Twitter as GameSpite, and of course, check out Gameboy.world because it's cool. And that's about it. So, Metal Storm.